Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, a minute past the hour of 6 p.m. here on the 14th day of September 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you wander over to if you'd like to hang out with some of the most engaging, jolly, merrymaking, zany denizens of the web in the Horn chat room. Just click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be almost immediately greeted, especially if you're a noob, and I promise we don't make you ride a goat or anything, by the likes of Anatole, Don from Central PA, Hoghead, Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, and, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a Third Stage Guild navigator, has indeed folded space this afternoon where he is to become Man Cave. Yes. Absolutely. And come on by. Come on by. Ah, thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. Loud and clear on my ukulele, Brother Pastor Kincaid. Thank you, Asa. Thank you very kindly. Wonder how long it's been now since you've slept all the way through the night. Yeah, I know. Proud new papa, Brother Deacon Asa is. I remember the days. I don't remember like it was in the past tense. Once you got kids, you never stop worrying. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and like I said, it's the 14th day of September 2016, and if you look at your calendar, you'll notice that that means it is, in fact, a Wednesday. And Wednesday means something here at the Horn, means something more than just, downhill to Friday, hump day, middle of the week. It means, in fact, it means that it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Hallelujah, glory, brethren and sistren. Amen and amen. We live for this day every week when we can engage in Bible study. And when the little old blue-haired ladies down to the fellowship hall get after it with their monumental cooking skills, And we had some crock-pot barbecue this evening, Dana. Oh, it was so good. They've got an entire bank of crock-pots down there, and each one of them got a Boston butt. And low and slow, and then they pulled it apart with forks and mixed the barbecue. They make their own barbecue sauce, of course, and make their own slaw. And the buns was all toasted up real nice. And, oh, you want to talk about good. You don't always have to spend 20 hours with a smoker. That's what passes for hillbilly barbecue. It was good. Mighty good, mighty good. Some peas and carrots on the side. Yeah, some Jell-O salad. A green salad, because the coleslaw, that's not a side, that goes on the barbecue, you understand, glory. And then right there over on the dessert table, there was four or five made from scratch apple bundt cakes covered in homemade caramel glaze. Oh, the deacons went about wild. They did. They want nary a crumb left, and then they trundled their deacon bulk up the staircase and out into the parking lot where they was smoking with the sinners, brethren and sistren, until of course, I gave the secret high sign to Sister Carol Baker, who merely had to wave the cattle prod at the deacons and give it one press so you could hear the bzzz coming off of it. And man, I tell you what, them deacons come a-running out of the parking lot, away from the sinners, through the vestibule, down past that newly desiccating bowl of butter mints, and they do desiccate in a hurry, and right on down front where I was awaiting for them and where they're standing now. And brethren and sistren, the deacons have an important job this evening. They do. For we are in a hole. We are in a $335 fundraising hole. Would have been $345 except for last night, our subscriber Michael in Madison arrived on the scene and knocked it down by $10. $335. That's one at $335, and can't go no further without help. 33.5 at 10, 10 at 33.5, right? And a gentle reminder, we'd love to see a whole bunch of $1 bills there in the plate, because Larry's challenge, the High Larry challenge, is on the table. And we have 293 $1 contributions left to go. And if we can get those by September 30th, Larry is going to kick in $666, which is a very special number here on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Yes, it is. And that'll make up an entire week's funding. So wouldn't it be awesome to get 330, well, 200, you get the idea. But mainly that's for people who have never, ever, 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 ever contributed to the horn. But who listen and have the ability to kick in a buck. So that challenge is on the table. Use PayPal for that. When the plate comes around during the plate passing, during the offertory hymn, brethren and sistren, just put that buck in it and then pass it along with every head bowed and every eye closed, except for the one that you keep open just a peep to keep from getting a concussion by getting that big old heavy velvet lined brass plate right in your brain pan. Yeah, do that. You know, please. So we got $335 to raise this evening, and I hope we can do it, because this here is a program note. This will be a truncated Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I got a note earlier from Sister Kathy and Brother Mike that Mike is still waiting on the healing hands of faith to land upon him. So I'll knock off at 8 p.m. and then pick back up at 9 p.m. to fill in for Mike Malloy on the Malloy program. So just kind of keep that in mind. We got about an hour and 50 minutes to go, and $335 to come up with. Thank you, brethren and sistren, for your love offerings and your faith offerings. It is the only way. It really is, and there's a whole bunch of bills waiting to be paid. First of the month bills waiting to be paid here in the middle of the month. And you pressing that little old PayPal button is how we're going to get it sorted out. Okie doke. So that being the case, and everybody being all barbecued out and peas and carroted out and et cetera, well, we're gonna call the minister of music up, and brethren and sistren, as the plate comes around, just remember, we can't run the cathedral of common sense on the love of Christ Jesus all by itself. All right. So, brother minister of music, if you would step up here to the lectern, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mares and oats and dozy oats and little lambs and ivy. A kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? How glory, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome, welcome to prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm a-calling upon you now. How glory to get up out of your seats and on to your feet, hop, and come on out and come down that blood-red aisle and fall upon, hop, amen, your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Arch Pope Uber Rabbi Ultimate Imam Animated Animist Antagonized Agnostic Vicarious Vicar Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid. This here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense, high in the hills and hollers of almost level west by Cole, Virginia. Stand, brethren and sistren. You know, it says right there. It says right there in the new testicle, to suffer the children. I mean, Jesus himself says it. Suffer the little children to come unto me. That verse, brethren and sistren, is apparently subject to interpretation. You know, we interpreted on it real hard back in 2003. And to be fair, during the 1990s when we killed 1 million children in Iraq, Madam Secretary Albright said it was worth it. That was one way. And then we killed bunches, hundreds of thousands of youngins, maybe, in Iraq. And after Dim Leader said he tried to kill my daddy and launched a war against the innocent people of that country. We killed them left and right, all these dropping like flies. So that's one way to interpret suffering the children. But it turns out, brethren and sistren, that there is there is another way to interpret, suffer the little children to come unto me. Let us consider the town of Hubbard, Ohio, which is over there almost in Pennsylvania, and not too awful far from Youngstown. The story comes from the Youngstown Vindicator, where Richard Keenan, who in 2010, 2011, was actually the mayor of Hubbard, Ohio, got indicted last month for 8 separate charges of rape and 12 separate charges of attempted rape and gross sexual imposition. That's pretty sick. No, that's real sick. That's a lot sick. That's vicious and disgusting. Especially when you consider that each and every one of those counts, praise Jesus, relate to a 4-year-old child. A little 4-year-old girl, dang near a baby. Now, Richard Keenan, 65 years old, he's entered a not guilty plea. But he's also made a confession that he did, in fact, sexually assault the 4-year-old girl over the course of 3 years, beginning at age 4. And among other people, Keenan confessed to his wife and to a preacher and to a social worker and to his brother and sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. After he admitted it, he checked himself into a psych facility because he was suddenly suicidal. Isn't it interesting that they don't get suicidal before they get caught? He admitted he'd been molesting the little girl for about 2 years. And why would we talk about this on prayer meeting Wednesday? Well, brethren and sisters, you know. It was back in 2010 when the Youngstown Vindicator interviewed Brother Keenan. He had just been sworn in as mayor, and so they sent an intrepid practitioner of the Fourth Estate to interview the new mayor, and that's when he looked at the reporter and said, "I'm a Christian. Dedicating my life to Jesus has changed my life. Don't preach it, but live it." That's the part. That's the part that really made the story for me. That's the part where I knew that the goddess of irony had been was just sitting there with a joy buzzer and getting ready to shake the metaphysical hand of a good, upstanding, God-fearing, fine, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian, Richard Keenan. Don't preach it, but live it. So one can only assume that he was living out his Christianity and witnessing to the little 4-year-old girl as he was having sex with her. In addition to being mayor there in Hubbard, Ohio, it's also noteworthy that he had spent part of the 1990s on the city council there in Hubbard. At the time, he was also a probation officer, brethren and sistren. Yes. He sat in judgment of people who had to come to his office every day who had maybe been convicted of petty larceny or joyriding or some such and had managed to get probation for, instead of being sent to the clink. And he double-checked with them every day to make sure that they were that they were sincere in their devotion to follow the path of righteousness so as not to stir him to revoke their probation and send them off to prison in some godforsaken forlorn corner of Ohio, Stan. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it remains to be seen what the justice system will do with Brother Richard Keenan, but when you think about a Christian raping a four-year-old, always remember, dedicating my life to Jesus has changed my life. Don't preach it, but live it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but that story just fills me with the spirit of grace and salvation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Host of Hosts. And my goodness gracious, ain't God good? Of course, it wouldn't be fair if he comes up to sentencing. It would not be fair if the judge was to say, Dick, and I think we can all call you Dick, do you remember when you said that giving your life to Jesus had changed your life forever? Don't preach it, live it. Do you remember that, Dick? No, Your Honor, I don't have any memory of that. I don't think I can, you know, to quote Ronald Reagan, I don't have any recollection of whether I have any memory of that particular instance of remembering. Because you know that's how it's going to go, don't you? Sure. Doubtless. Oh, mercy sakes. Yeah. But just remember, Richard Keenan, rapist of a four-year-old little girl, well, he's not perfect. Just forgiven. My, oh, my, oh, my. Yes. Yeah, we got heroic tales of faith left and right because we're still dealing with the fallout. And I guess we could call it that, fallout, from the Values Voters Summit. I wonder how many kiddie rapists were gathered in that in attendance there. Yeah, I bet you there were a few. Warmongers and whoremongers and yeah, the whole grand gang. Well, it was back on Saturday after, as we were talking about last night, after the governor of Kentucky, Matt Bevin, accepted his D. James Kennedy Coral Snake Ministry Award for his God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, defensive sister, Clark Kim Davis, who couldn't sign no marriage license if two homos was getting married. That was Friday night. Then comes Saturday, when the big guns come to the stage. And when you go to the Values Voters Summit, you go for the big name appearances. Yes. And well, is there any bigger name in Christianity than that tremendous theologian, the Duck Doofus himself, Phil Robertson? He stood up there talking to the assembled faithful to tell them God is on our side. And he has a plan. He has a plan for presidential politics here in 2016.
Mm-hmm. By the way, when old Phil here met Mr. Trump earlier, he said, what do Phil do? Old Rob here had written down an arrow coming down out of heaven. And he had written above it, I wrote this down there on the riverbank. I wrote down there 1 A.D., arrow coming out of heaven. I had a cross there. I wrote it. I just wrote. I didn't say a word. I just wrote it. 1 A.D., arrow, God becoming flesh. I drew a cross where the blood was shed for our sin. And I put a tomb where they put him and where you're going. And I had an arrow coming out of that tomb. He beat it. He beat death. You say, did you show Mr. Trump that? What do you think? You better believe I showed him that. You know what I said? I said, Donald, don't miss this. I said, we need God on our side. I was just trying to give him some encouraging words.
Yeah, may need God on our side, but it looks like it got Donald Trump instead. But wait a minute, maybe they're interchangeable. Just ask Trump. He'll tell you.
And I also told him, I said, if you really want to see something wild, I said, film it, Donald. Film me baptizing you. I said, the left wingers will literally go crazy. And I said, and the evangelicals will swarm you like a mighty throng. Right? Because then we would know we have God on our side. So I'm only saying that right now in front of you because I know it will get to Donald Trump.
So, to review, that would make Phil Robertson, the Duck Doofus, that would make Phil Robertson, John the Baptist, and that would make the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, Jeebus? Apparently, yes. Yes. I mean, since when, of course, there's no mention in there about how they would do that as part of the television program, and the ratings would go through the roof over there at what used to be known as the Learning Channel, and I guess now is the Lord's Channel or some such as that. Mercy sakes. Hold him under a little longer, Phil. You still got some more sins to wash away. No, hold him under till there ain't no more bubbles. That's the only way you know. Thank you, Arthur. Swarm, Arthur says. The evangelicals are locusts. Makes sense, because remember, John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. And we thought we had a good dinner in the fellowship hall. Yeah. It was a big day. Big day there at the Values Voter Summit, and the Duck Doofus had an answer for pert near everything, including the things that Donald Trump says with his mouth eater. Man, I thought I had some pauses.
Well, Donald Trump sticks his foot in his mouth too much. That's why I'm not voting for him. Really? First of all, read the Old Testament and see how many different people God worked through to accomplish his purpose.
And lo, yea, verily, did Elbehabages stick his foot in his mouth. And God Almighty reached down and said, Elbehabages, remove thy foot from thy mouth. And Elbehabages said, and then God did remove the foot from the mouth of Elbehabages, and Elbehabages did take to testifying and glorifying of God. It's right there. You can look it up.
A lot of them. give him time. Better a man who sticks his foot in his mouth every once in a while. I've done it myself.
He must be thinking about that time when he, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Phil Robertson, said all the slaves in Louisiana was just happy being slaves out there, just a singing and a chopping of the cotton. Yeah, maybe that time. You remember the story from a few days ago where we talked about the big Georgetown Jesuit slave sell-off? Well, a whole bunch of the slaves that were sold off by Georgetown University were put aboard a ship in Balmer, and they were sailed all the way down the east coast of the United States, all the way around the tip end of Florida, all the way up the Gulf of Mexico, till they got to New Orleans. They'd already been sold, so they didn't have to be resold in New Orleans. They were just sent off to rice plantations and whatnot, and cotton plantations, where the scene was so bad that one of the Jesuit priests who had been actually bothered by the idea of selling them off begged the Roman Catholic Church for years to please provide enough money in Louisiana, mind you, which had historically been Catholic in the first place, to please provide enough money because to build a simple church. Because these slaves had been sold so far down the river that they wasn't anywhere where any priest could take care of their souls or abuse their bodies more. Mm-hmm. God works through people who stick their foot in their mouth, and as Arthur says, which translates as, I've done that myself, with foot in mouth. Right. But the problem is not Donald Trump sticking his foot in his mouth, brethren and sistren. The problem is Donald Trump being unable to open his mouth without lying. I mean, my God, there was a master class presented by none other than Keith Olbermann. He found work, bless his heart. Keith did. I call him Keith. Keith found work over to GQ Television. And they sat him down at a desk, and he sat, and I watched it yesterday. Thing goes on for like 17 minutes, brethren and sistren. 17 rock-solid minutes of Keith Olbermann just documenting lie after lie after lie after lie after lie, and I'm not going to do that for 17 minutes, that Donald Trump has told. And it's so, Phil, brother, it's not the foot and mouth thing that's bothersome. No. It's the lion thing. Because apparently that is, how could we best say this? It's pathological. With the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, the Psycho Cheeto. Psycho Cheeto. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Never, no more singing. No singing. Mm-hmm. So you see, it doesn't matter. And this is, you know, this is kind of a character analysis. It does not matter what any one of these walking manifestations of evil, these Cthulhu wannabes, By the way, Stephen King tweeted out the other day that Donald Trump was really Cthulhu. And who knew Cthulhu had a Twitter handle or a Twitter account? Well, Cthulhu does. And Cthulhu tweeted back, "Oh no, I'm the only candidate that's running on a platform of pure unmitigated evil and you know won't lie about it." So please, don't make that mistake of thinking that Donald Trump is Cthulhu. Don't do it. But there's nothing quite like a presidential election to bring together amateur theologians. Lots and lots of amateur theologians. And they don't even have to necessarily be, you know, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual theologians. Some days they can come from any and all walks of faith. And of course we're still all wrapped up in and all consumed by the question of Hillary Clinton's recent health issue. Is it really pneumonia? Or, as I saw on Facebook where she was wearing the sunglasses, has she done gone blind? Or any number, because she's wearing sunglasses, like, yeah. Well, all of this may be the mystical and wondrous workings of the hand of the Almighty. And zing, there he is with all the answers, the Savage Wiener. Savage.
Here you have this lying, sick grandmother who says America wants change.
Here you have this lying, sick grandmother. Well, I guess she would be lying if she was sick. I don't get up and walk around. And it, oh, wait. Lying, sick grandmother. I mean, so even when she's sick, she... Oh. You know, sometimes it's not just the tequila. Sometimes you just need a bite stick. Hockey puck alert. Hockey puck alert. Hey, lying, sick grandmother wants change.
America wants change. But she is practicing the same policies as he is. She will continue the scorched earth policies against everything we hold dear. Maybe it was God's hand, the slip and fall. Yes, I'll level with you. I'll give it a shot. When I saw it happen, I just actually jumped up and said, something is going on here. You know, you don't know the unintended consequences of all of these lies. Maybe the burden of lies and hatred that came out of her mouth at the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender event two nights before, homophobic, Islamophobic, when she did the whole thing. Remember the whole thing? You know, all his supporters, the untouchables, the deplorables. You know, the Islamophobic, homophobic, like she was talking to her girlfriends at a college rally behind the scenes. Maybe the toxins of her vile opinion of most decent Americans overloaded her.
You know, or maybe Michael Savage Wiener is just kind of insane. And of course, do you notice how he equates people whose hearts are filled with hate for various different groups as, you know, the decent Americans? Because, you know, if you're Islamic, you know, if you're Muslim, if you're gay, lesbian, transgendered, well, in the Savage Wieners of the world, by definition, that means you can't be... You can't be decent. Because over in right-wing world, there's no decent gay people. There's no decent Muslims. Yeah, no. They've got decent all corralled and rounded up for themselves, and us heathens out here. Well, we're just going to have to get by until we finally shuffle off this mortal coil and go and get barbecued for all eternity. What they don't understand, though, is that when you consider getting barbecued for all eternity, as long as those assholes aren't there, barbecuing don't seem so bad now, does it? I mean, can you imagine checking out just a minute. Sorry, had to have a momentary conversation with the boy. Things are. No, I was going to say, can you imagine, you know, here on Earth, veil of tears, all that, and then you check out and you go up to the pearly gates and you've been good enough that they let you in, and fucking Oral Roberts is waiting on you. I mean, at that point, don't you look at St. Peter and go, where's the elevator? You got him? And meanwhile, down there, they got Miles Davis or something? No. Later. it's a little stressful around here right now because the ongoing saga of the harrowing medical neglect of my eldest daughter. It continues. We were over with her at another emergency room earlier today. And they looked at her and said, yeah, your gallbladder's gone to hell. Go home. No, really. That's okay. What are they going to do? So, I had to have a brief conversation with for a minute, just kind of trying to keep information. Flowing, sorry. Not quite getting my notifications like maybe I ought to. But thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa and Cletus and Steve from Georgistan and Ms. Karen. The $335 fundraising goal has now been reduced by, let's see, we're down to $285. $285 to go passing the plate. And after the fiasco of last week's locking of the sanctuary doors, I mean, we had to get ServPro in here. You guys. But, so we're not locking the doors, and the sweet tea was just ordinary this week. But $285 to go, that's 10 at 28.50 or 28 and a half people at 10, it's $140.25 at two people or $70 and 12 and a half. Okay, $70.13 for four people or $35 and 7 cents for eight people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we are on our way. Thank you very kindly to Cletus and Brother Deacon Asa, thank you very much. Let's run over to Georgistan for a minute. Why not? Because, of course, this is a matter of, this is one of those onward Christian soldiers moments. Covington, Georgia, to be precise. No, really, so Christian soldiers. Because, well, there was a group of people of the Muslim faith. In fact, I think we had this story a couple of weeks ago, where they had to pack them in with a shoehorn, and just like down at the local mega church, they had to have two different county commission meetings, just to get all the bigots a chance to speak their piece. Covington is a suburb of Atlanta, and they had themselves a meeting there about the construction of a mosque, or what would most likely be called the Islamic Center of Covington or some such. They don't call them mosques because that tends to drive the ignorant Christians right out of what's left of their itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny little minds. Notice I said they were going to have a meeting. Well, the meeting got canceled. Not because the good people of Covington, Georgia said, well, shucks, what are we worried about? We got a First Amendment here that guarantees freedom of religion to everybody in the country. No. The city planning meeting was canceled because of a video that started making the rounds that right-wing, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual militia members had made, in which they said that they would do violence if the City Planning Commission okayed the construction of the building. It went back to a fellow by the name of Chris Hill, in the name of Jesus. He's part of what they call the 3% security force. Interviewed by NBC, he said, I was just shooting from the hip is what I was doing, and saying, right over there, this is going to be a future ISIS training group. This is where you're going to see terrorism taking hold in Newton County. It's tied to terrorism, everything from 9/11 to Boston bombings to the Fort Hood shooting to the coup in Turkey. It's all connected. Because Chris Hill knows so much about Turkish politics. Now, bear in mind, Chris Hill, well, he's a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. And he said, we ain't made no threats against no city government. We just talking about what that building's gonna be. Just shooting from the hip. See, when a good white, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual starts talking about maybe bombing people or killing people, that's just shooting from the hip. But if a brown person does it, terrorism! The 3%ers, they took their goons, you know, their blue steel penis extensions, and they went to where the meeting was going to go down, and they marched around carrying their Second Amendment remedy assault weapons. Some of them had their pistols, while another man walked around in circles screaming into a megaphone. No word here on whether or not he was speaking in tongues. Newton County Manager Lloyd Kerr said, Unfortunately, in today's society, uncivil threats or intentions must be taken seriously. Now this ISIS training ground that Chris Hill's talking about, what is it that the Muslims there in Covington, Georgia want to do? They want to do what all kinds of religious institutions want to do. They want to have a place for burying their dead. Because, you know, Muslims live and die. They don't all just get blown into tiny pieces because they're... And I know this is tough for the right wing to wrap its mind around, but they're not all terrorists. In fact, probably fewer Muslims are terrorists than Christians are terrorists. Witness the 3% percenters. Yeah, witness the governor of Kentucky that we talked about last night. Chris Hill told WXIA that he will continue to protest if plans for the mosque go forward. Because, see, there's already been enough complaint and enough hate that the Planning Commission put a hold on these people being able to build their house of worship. Now, of course, Chris Hill hauled out the bloody shirt. As an American, I have a right to defend. As a Marine, I have a right and a duty to defend our country and our Constitution. Hoo-ah! Yeah. So, this group owns their land. They have clear title in fee simple to it. They could, if they wanted to, build a halal barbecue shack on it. And nobody'd be the wiser. Well, where's the pork? Well, we just favor beef and lamb if that's okay with you. Well, damn, that sure is good. The Georgia chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, Edward Ahmed, said, American Muslims, every time that we go outside, we're standing up to extremists. If we can do that, then a county commission surrounded by law enforcement officers should be able to do the same thing. Because, you know, the county commission chicken shitted out. They were skeert of the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual patriots. By the way, if you were to go looking for Chris Hill, hoo-ah! If you were to go looking for him, looking for his videos or anything, you'll want to look under the name Blood Agent. Blood Agent. Mm-hmm. So, the First Amendment does not apply to Muslims in Covington, Georgia. But it does apply, but the Second Amendment does apply to Blood Agent Chris Hill of Covington, Georgia. Is there, one wonders, is there no law on the books in Georgia to deal with to deal with a terrorist like Chris Hill? Steve in New York said, Chris Hill, Hank's boy? No, I don't think so. Not unless Hank's boy got dropped on his head sometime after the series closed. This is just pathetic. I mean, we've got a First Amendment, freedom of religion. But, and if you go to Raw Story and find this, this story, Get a load of Chris Hill. Wrap around bug-eyed white sunglasses, Civil War beard, and then there's the big old feller standing behind him with the Merkin flag and the UGA hat on. Man, if these are the guys who are protecting us from the ISIS terrorists, not to put too fine a point on it, but we're fucked. Really? Arthur pointing out, well, of course it's all connected. Put down the Klan Connect a Dot sheet for children. See, right here. It's all connected. Sadly, entirely too true. Marty asks, a Marine, huh? Which is his rifle and which is his gun? Which is for fighting and which is for fun? An obligatory reference to a Stanley Kubrick film by the name of Full Metal Jacket. As to shooting from the hip, Ron in Raleigh says, subject line, a different place. I don't think the hip is quite the right location. I believe that fella was shooting from an area slightly lower and further around. See, that's your classic homespun North Carolina humor. I can almost hear Andy telling that to Barney. Well played, Ron. Clarence, meanwhile, says, these so-called Christians are nothing but undercover mental patients evading much-needed treatment. These folks use religion to justify their irrational behavior. You're right, Bob. Irony always reveals their bullshit. Meanwhile, Punky, writing through his translator Scott in San Diego under the subject line Duck Doofus, says, I like the Robertson as John the Baptist analogy. Hurry up and get to the part where his head's served up on a platter. You're just mean. Why do you hate Jeebus? Yeah. Oh, and in broader political news, you may have seen the incensed press release coming out from the DNC announcing that they had been hacked again by, well, the Russians. On behalf of Donald Trump, of course. So, lo and behold, unhappy, trying to deflect a little bit of criticism. I'm looking at a screen cap here. Sister Carol Baker said, the GOP done got smited and struck down to GOP Congressman, Republican National Committee was hacked too. Sure you were. Mm-hmm. Mercy. And we ain't hardly even done got started. Wouldn't be much of a prayer meeting Wednesday now, would it? If we didn't check in with Puddin' Bucket Jim Baker. If you have a prayer meeting Wednesday and it doesn't have Puddin' Bucket Jim or former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson in it, it'd be like I wasn't trying. So earlier we had the Savage Wiener, declaring that God's judgment was on Hillary and that she was struck down by the Lord. Well, somebody else gonna get struck down too, according to Puddin' Bucket Jim.
It seems like every time we turn around, there's another group against Trump. Trump's made a mistake, or Trump's did this, or this has happened, or that's happened. And we only have two people. God says, I'm God.
Right.
And if
God
I
says
choose
that.
Trump, he'll be elected. And if I choose Hillary, and I'll tell you what.
Hang on, because I realize it's like dancing about architecture, but I got to mention an element of the video here. So they got all these poor souls that they connived into coming in there and watching Jim Baker out there in Branson under the premise of probably giving them a little bite to eat, but it turns out to be, bucket food, which I'm told tastes a bit right like chalk. But the camera pans over to this one woman who's a sitting there tooking notes. She's in school. She's sitting there taking notes. Everything that Puddin' Bucket Jim says. Donald Trump says something. There's another group says Donald Trump said something. Man, that is some high-minded oratory.
God could allow Hillary to be elected because God sends judgment to a nation by giving them, well, the Bible says that immature
leadership.
Leadership.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
God damn, 68 years old and he's calling her immature. I guess you got to get to 70 like Trump is. It never ends, does it? Immature leadership. And so we at least know, and I guess Puddin' Bucket Jim is trying to soften the blow a little bit. If Hillary Clinton is elected president, we will know that God is really pissed off at us because he's give us an immature leader. Because nothing says maturity quite like the words Donald Trump. Who, by the way, is being, there's a request in Asheville, North Carolina, which is a nice, reasonably progressive, sort of got a lot of hippies in it town. And he had one of his Clavering rallies there the other day, at which point some of his faithful began to beat the snot out of people who weren't so faithful. And he gave them the thumbs up for beating up somebody, Trump did, and a wink and a smile. And so there's been a request made of the Asheville Police Department that they investigate Donald Trump for incitement to riot. Because, you know, whipping up a crowd into a big enough frenzy that they'll beat the shit out of people, that approaches the definition of riot, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Darn, I already used the Clash and White Riot last night. Might have come in handy. But, yeah, Hillary's immature, sure.
We're honestly in a time right now where America, the Christians here right now, we need to be praying that we don't get what we do deserve.
Right.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I love these scriptures that you're saying here right now, because like, you know, you have Elijah just pouring the water on, he was making it harder, supposedly, for God to do what he needed to do.
Right.
And it's like, I'm just reminded, I love this, the point that you're making here, that it's like by Trump doing these things, I mean, sometimes, you know, because I like him, you know, but he's saying stuff that I'm just like, oh no, don't say that. This is going to hurt you. It's like he's pouring water. He's making it harder for himself. He's making it hard for himself. And so, you know, if he gets to be president,
well, I'll tell you what, without America, no, miracle in America, he's going to be the closest thing probably to a Christian that America will ever elect.
Well, okay then. Never mind that Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher we elected, who then, when he was done being president, went and followed the admonition of Christ Jesus in Matthew to house the homeless and feed the hungry and clothe the naked. I'd be talking, of course, about Gerald Ford. No, I wouldn't. I'd be talking about Jimmy Carter. Closest thing to a Christian that America has ever elected. Well, wait a damn minute, Puddin' Bucket Jim. What about Dim Leader? What about W, who said that Jesus H. Christ was his favorite philosopher, and his favorite book was the Bible, and even knew to say 2 Corinthians and not 2 Corinthians, walk into a bar. One of the Corinthians says, ouch! And do you hear the little hoodwink ladies out there just a clapping? It almost sounds like rain falling on a metal roof. It does. Stephen, New York, subject line: Chris Hill. Seriously, I have to give these people credit for their endurance. I'm finding myself exhausted by their hatred. They just keep going. How could people have this much capacity for hatred? It's not capacity, Steve. It's fuel. It's like the 25-year-old Clinton filth machine. The 25-year-old Clinton filth machine that has been directed at her for 25 years. That's why it's a 25-year-old Clinton filth machine. Is fueled entirely by 200 proof pure hatred. Hate is a powerful emotion. It is a consuming emotion. But it has tremendous motivational power. That's why anytime a country gets into a war, the first thing they do is they start coming up with means of getting the country to hate the other side. Now, consider, for instance, the internment of the perfectly loyal Japanese American citizens during the Second World War. Consider the propaganda campaign and the editorial cartoons and the mockery of the Japanese. Or consider the editorial cartoons in the Middle East, where Israelis and Arabs, Muslims alike, lampoon each other's physical features so as to reduce them from the status of actually being human. Think about that New York newspaper editorial cartoon of a few years back that portrayed Barack Obama as an ape. And you know, that crap is with us still. Let's check in for a minute, because we haven't in a while. Let's check in with the Beckerhead. News break here. The Beckerhead has finally settled his lawsuit, the lawsuit that was filed against him by a man that he relentlessly libeled and slandered after the Boston bombing. Yeah. In the name of Joseph Smith, I will never settle this suit. Yeah, he settled. Of course he did. Of course. But that's not what we're on about here. Here we have to understand. We will have it explained to us why it is that Obama hates Murka.
So we've had to deal with racism or conflict between races, ethnic groups, new immigrants. Also, America's not perfect. Look, it still has racial discrimination, and it still has its own problems. It should worry about its own problems. And I agree with that.
I can't take it.
So hard.
Notice he said
to.
It should worry about its own problems, not we should worry about our own problems.
I just think, what happened to him? What was his life like that he has no love for America at all?
He grew up a lot of time over there with a monkey and a parrot, and then he
well,
moved,
there's that.
Then he moved over with his communist grandparents and the mm-hmm. communist, you know, Frank Marshall Davis. Mm-hmm. I mean,
a monkey and a parrot. And his grand, who said, really? Is nothing sacrosanct anymore? He went after Barack Obama's grandma and grandpa?
Well, they were communists.
Lucky for the Beckerhead, the dead cannot sue for libel. Damnation. Note coming in from our buddy Robert up over down under in Australia. Subject line, why does God not love Australia? Bob, we had an entire federal election here in Australia recently, and not a single word from God about who we should have voted for. Why does God not love Australia? We were left to decide who to vote for by ourselves. How do we know we got the government we deserved without God sticking his or her nose into the election and thus violating his or her tax-free status? And it's all tax-free. Well, see, that just proves the depths of depravity you've fallen into in Australia, Robert, because God has abandoned you to your sinful ways. Mm-hmm. It just down there. I mean, after all, there's a whole bunch, millions of Americans who the first thing that they think of when they hear the word Australia is somebody saying, put a couple of shrimp on the babby. And everybody knows that shrimp are an abomination unto the taste buds of the Almighty. He long ago banned shrimp eating and Barbies. And if Barbie eats a shrimp, by God, she's going to hell too. You see how that works? Yeah. So here we are at the top of the... Oh, past the top of the hour. Bob Kincaid, what have you done? We're only going to be going for another 50 minutes or so here. And yes, we have $285 in fundraising to go, which, if we don't raise it here in the next 45 minutes or so, will mean that we will have a $485 fundraising hole tomorrow. And, well, that's just, you know, that's just a little scary. Note coming in from Jay Cruisin. Well, Bob, since it's church night, no, prayer meeting Wednesday, Jay Cruisin. That's what we call it here, prayer meeting Wednesday. And you know I want to see it all burned to the ground because we want a warmonger or a fascist for president. Here's a I don't know which one's which. Quit telling people how to vote! Here's a Bible quote that represents the U.S. In the quote, the fornication spoken of are our wars of choice and our rape of the planet. I understand your meaning, Jay Cruisin, but you know that's something I've tried to work out of my own language. Oh, Carol Baker, you are going to hell. You are so going to hell. Carol Baker says, uh-oh, I had shrimp for lunch. Yep, you're going on the Barbie down in the hot place. But no, just a language moment. I've tried, and maybe I fall in my ways from time to time. But I do. I take the things that y'all tell me quite seriously. And I remember I used to make a joke about, you know, God, that was so awful. It just made me want to get into a warm bath and slit my wrists. And I got a note from somebody one time who said, you know, I know somebody who did that and it still hurts to this day. And I really wish you wouldn't do that, Bob. So that's gone. And then I was reminded, this wasn't so much a listener letter or a member of the community called me out or anything. But I used to frequently use the word rape to describe the degradation and pillage and destruction of this planet's ability to support human life. I made a conscious decision not to use that phrase anymore because... And this was the way I explained it to myself, whether it makes any sense to you or not. I mean, only rape is rape. Anything else that you describe as rape has a linguistic means of diminishing the actual act. Or at least that's the way I view it, because I pay attention to language. So I get Jay Cruisin's meaning. But here's his Bible verses. And after these things I saw... Oh, it's Revelations. Fuck me running. The hallucinations of John of Patmos sitting there tripping his nuts off in on a little island somewhere. Fantasizing about the Roman Empire. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and the walls come tumbling down. No, no, no. Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils. Wait. Of devils! And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies and her monkey-strong bowels. No, I added that part. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. J. Cruzan says, sounds about right to me. Oh, dear God, J. Cruzan, are you telling me that you've gone full Revelation on us? Hoo-wee! Because that's just madness. I mean, it's pretty obvious, historically speaking, that John of Patmos had spent too much time in the heat. And if I understand Patmos correctly, not a lot of fresh water on Patmos, and he was probably drinking salt water. And you know, from any story about people cast adrift at sea, when you finally lose it and you start drinking salt water, you go nuts. Mm-hmm. Which he did. I mean, he was hallucinating so bad that he thought Rome was Babylon. Come on. Meanwhile, Don writes, subject line Australia. I saw this comment on a blog several weeks ago since you mentioned Australia. Australia was lucky they got the convicts. They could have got the religious exiles instead. Ooh, yeah, like we did. But then again, let's not think it's all beer and Skittles up over down under there in Australia. I saw a clip of the maiden speech of a brand new member of the Australian Senate. I can't remember her name. She's the one who hates her some Muslims and got her comeuppance because they did a DNA test and found out she's got Middle Eastern ancestry. Well, I'll be dipped. Well, nonetheless, it didn't slow her down. She took to the floor of the Australian Senate and encouraged them. She said she will drive the Muslims who don't want to be part of Australian society to the airport, and I'll wish you well on your way out of town. No, she did. I found that on John Fox's Facebook page and just went. And every time I see one of these things that John posts, I just type again. Well, the American disease continues to metastasize in Australia. Mm-hmm. Yep. With a cheap reference to Billy Joel, Marty says, obviously Miss Carol Baker would rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints, because the sinners have much more fun. Meanwhile, Steve writes, infinite degrees of separation. Anytime someone mentions a monkey, a parent, and grandparents, you just know it's Obama. Unfortunately, these people are serious? Way too serious. Way too serious. So, it being prayer meeting Wednesday, let's take a quick break. And if you want to engage in some good old-fashioned conversation radio, I heartily encourage you so to do. You know the numbers, 304-663-4676, that spells horn, And then 304-574-8178 or Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. The plates are still going around. The deacon, yeah, we have to keep the plates going around because at least it keeps the deacons moving. And well, after what happens in the fellowship hall, you gotta, or else they'll just stand there and nod right off after a meal like that. Right. All right, we'll be back. I'm Bob. I never need an excuse to play a Drive-By Truckers track. Your Daddy Hates Me by the patron saint band of the horn, Drive-By Truckers. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. We got about 30 minutes or so left in the program if you want to join in and engage in some conversation. And by the way, just a quick reminder, sure, maybe you're going to vote for Trump. Why the fuck not, right? Make sure you understand that you will not be down with Snoop Dogg. In a Rolling Stone interview, Snoop said, I never really had respect or understanding of the police till I got older and realized that most police officers are humans too. But that day was about saying we aren't going to be done like this anymore by you. I've been around a long time. I've seen Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Bushes, Clintons, and I never seen a motherfucker like him talking about Trump. And went on to say that Donald Trump is a reckless punk ass. See, now we're getting close to actually speaking truth about the psycho Cheeto. Cheeto psycho? I mean, considering the number of wives he's had, I think Cheeto really does work, don't you? Reckless punk ass. Thanks, Snoop Dogg. I'm going to remember that. Yeah, maybe we all should. Hey, it's Jay Cruisin' over on the Skype line. What's happening, Jay Cruisin'?
Snoop Dogg, that's my dog.
Reckless punk ass Trump.
Well, that you know, that's his language, man. That's the way he speaks. I love it.
It's also true.
Yeah, damn right it's true. I don't disagree one bit at all. Oh, shit, I knocked over empty beer cans.
Well, you know, the saddest part about that is that the beer cans are empty, Jay Cruisin'.
Yeah, that is dead soldiers, right?
Yep. But we would have heard. But had you not been environmentally conscious and gone with the aluminum cans, we would have heard shattering glass, and that sucks. When you get up the next morning, a little bit foggy, and you forget about the broken beer bottle, and you, son of a bitch! And you know, then you got to run and get the and pour the.
You got to get 13 stitches.
Well, or you got to reach for what's handy, and you got to pour some Pappy McDaniel on your cut to keep it from getting infected. I mean, that's just awful.
And then squeeze it together and pour super glue on it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, whatever because, you got to do.
Yeah, because medicine.
Medicine. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, we live in the country with the greatest healthcare system on the planet.
Except
hey, fucking man, right?
Except when it isn't.
Yeah, except when I get a couple of medications from a back and I get sent to the emergency room for an allergic reaction.
Or when your daughter makes repeated trips to the emergency room because everybody agrees that she's got an absolutely debilitating gallbladder, and then they say, but, you know, we don't deem this to be an emergency, so go home. We'll call.
Yeah, right. You know what? That's kind of like what they did to me, too. The last time they took my blood pressure, it was 160 over 98, and they didn't even take it again before they sent me home.
Well, I mean, that would have cost more, And some insurance company executive probably wouldn't have gotten his Christmas bonus.
Jesus Christ. That's where we live, Bob. That's where we live.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And
well, anyway, I didn't
If we get President Trump, we won't have to worry about that anymore because, well, there won't be any health care. At least not for people who aren't Trump.
No, bring on the Pokarev.
Hot damn.
Shit. You know, Bob, this whole damn thing to me, this whole presidential election, you know what it seems like to me? Every time I've ever been given a chance to vote, I was like, look forward to it, you know? But guess what? This year, it's like a countdown to the end of the fucking country, if you ask me. That's what it feels like. Seriously. Does it not feel kind of like that to you? I mean, even though I know that you think Hillary Clinton is better than Trump, I don't think she is by much, and maybe a little, but not by much. Doesn't it still
I think she's just differently better.
Jesus Christ.
I think she's not fucking insane. And when it comes to being president, not fucking insane is... Yeah, I'm sure about that.
We came, we saw, he died.
No, that's not insane. That's just mean.
That's diabolical.
Yeah. And of course, today she called him out on Twitter for his business dealings with Muammar Gaddafi.
Really? That's hypocrisy.
What she is... She's a policy wonk. She should have been, you know, permanent cabinet secretary of something really nerdy. But she is the most ambitious human being who has ever occupied space on this planet. And as we are frequently told, the most brilliant woman who's ever lived. Fuck you, Elizabeth I. Screw you, Boudica. Marie Curie, fuck off. Right.
Hey, you remember that comment that she made about, I don't remember where it was she made it, but about she ran into some guy that was a gas station attendant when her and Bill were together, and it was some dude she used to date, and it's like, somebody asked her, well, what if you had married him? And she said, I'd still be married to the President of the United States.
Because, right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean,
and you know, once the country's nice, once the country is something resembling safe again, there's going to be plenty of work for activists to do in a Clinton administration. There's going to be plenty of work, and there's going to be plenty to criticize. I mean, I'm still kind of rolling that phrase "basket of deplorables" around in my head, just wondering where the fuck did that even come from.
I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with the longer burger building that they're trying to sell that they can't sell because it's shaped like a basket.
Oh, really? Is Longaberger in trouble? I hate those bastards.
Oh, come on now. My mom was a big Longaberger fan. She had like a thousand of those fucking things.
Oh, I know. A million years ago, you couldn't keep people away. I mean, They're roadside stand peach baskets with a little bit of varnish and lacquer on them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, in this case, polyurethane spray. And they go for like $700 or something.
No, it's not that much.
No, I had two things back in the 90s that I hated with a white hot purple passion. Longaberger baskets and home interior. You ever heard of home?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
My wife's got tons of it.
Yeah, see, I knew.
Boxes in the attic and then closets. It's like, throw it away. I keep asking her.
And I mean, they sell cheesy ass prints in plywood in varnished plywood frames with plexiglass mounting, all that stuff, and they go for prices that you would spend in an art gallery.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I bought my wife a basket when we were down in Charleston, last year, I guess. I bought her a basket. There were, you know, the people were sitting there on Market Street, and they were weaving the baskets by hand, you know, right?
Yeah.
And I bought her one of those. It's like a couple $100 for that. But if you sit there and you watch them make them, it's like they sit there for a day
making
a damn basket. And sometimes some of them take them like 3-4 days to make the damn thing, you know? But you get something that's really handmade and unique, and it's pretty cool.
Right, whereas...
fuck Longaberger.
No, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. And, I mean, is home interior still in business?
I don't know. You tell me.
The computer's running slow, otherwise I'd look it up, but...
I don't even really care.
Sweet Jesus. But those, you know, the thing I loved about the Longaberger baskets was, you know, you'd pay a bajillion dollars for one, and then you'd pay $75 extra for a little scrap of checkered cloth.
Oh, yeah, the little piece. And then another $10 or $15 for the piece of plastic that lines the bag. Yeah. A little piece of plastic that fits down inside it, you know?
But this is not to say that I don't have my own foibles, because, I mean, I went online and because, you know, I'm pretty much pretty nearly grill-less right now, and you know, it's like from Excalibur, the land without a king, the king without a country, Bob without a grill, the grill, whatever. And so, you know, I had a lot of recommendations, including from members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, Jay Cruzen, of the Big Green Egg.
Well, if you just want to get a grill, just buy a grill. Just go get a Weber.
But I don't. I want something for long and low and slow and, you know, the religious stuff.
That's the other function. If you just need the function of a grill, that's a grill. Now, if you need a cookout or a barbecue, then you go something like it.
Yeah, You've said it yourself.
There's a difference. There's grilling and there's barbecue.
Right. And you know, props to the people at Weber. I have a Weber gas grill, a Weber Genesis gas grill, that is older than my kids.
Yeah. And they're pretty good, man. I had a charcoal grill that lasted me like 10 years. It was just, and then, you know, the only reason I threw it away is because we were moving and, I don't know, some part of the wheels rusted or something. I don't know.
That thing, I mean, you know, for just throwing a steak or some shrimps on the babby, that's wonderful. But no, so I went and looked at the Big Green Egg.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really nifty. You know, it's the Asian style Kamado cooker. They crept into national awareness as a result of our misadventure in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
But they weigh a ton, and they cost a fortune. But you don't just you buy the grill, and I mean you don't even get wheels with the bastard. You don't even get a stand with it. You got to buy that separately. And then there's a table you can buy separately that it fits inside. And then I started looking at the design of it, and it's like, oh, really? I mean, there's not even a place to, you know, you got to open it up, dig in, get the ashes out. Blah, 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 blah.
Why don't you just build yourself a brick and concrete or
I keep asking. I keep asking myself, why not just build a damn pit?
Yeah. Come on, Hoss.
Well,
I mean, they used to at the company I worked for, they used to do all kinds of stuff on Thanksgiving. I remember hearing stories that they took a turkey out. You ever buried a turkey?
No, I've not done. Now I buried a pig.
Yeah,
but I've never buried a turkey.
So how does that work anyway? I heard him talk about it. I can't remember exactly, but it's like they heat up the rocks or something, and they just
the way it was done. And I mean, this goes way back to when I was early in college. The college town I was in was famous for its brick factory. And in fact, the heat-retaining bricks that they made there were actually used in the furnace that my dad worked on in Alabama. So they're really good. So we dug a five-foot hole.
Yeah.
And lined the sucker with those heat-retaining bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And built a humongous blaze in it. And once it went down to coals, we laid in a layer of, you know, wet greenery, and then laid the pig on top of it, laid a tarp on top of the pig, and buried him, and dug him up a little bit later, and good.
Damn right.
That's a lot of work, though.
That's a lot of work, but.
But you know, if you're 19, sophomore in college, and it's, you know, party weekend and the punch has been made. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
But so, I mean, I have my foibles because I looked longingly at that Big Green Egg and just realized it ain't never. I mean, they got a Big Green Egg, Jay Cruisen, that is so long, and it's like $3,000, but it is so damn big you can smoke 5 turkeys on it at a time.
Nice.
Yes. I realize that's over.
I don't know what the hell you're.
Right. No. It's overkill. But there's no aficionado of grilling or of barbecuing out there who didn't just hear me say that and go ooh ooh, you know, and make those Tim Allen noises.
Now is this some gas or is it?
No, it's charcoal.
Yeah, there you go, charcoal.
And you lay in the hickory, and it closes real tight, and you just manage the. And you can get it up to like 800 degrees or low and slow down at, you know, 175, 180, which is what you want for, you know, your good barbecue and stuff. But you're from North Carolina, you'd know that.
Hmm.
And by the way, the hot sauce, I have to tell you, the hot sauce came real near to giving Ferg a religious experience.
It's hot, ain't it?
It is hot. I mean, I mean, between you and me, as I've said before, and I mean, I don't mind to say it, I prefer the flavor of a chili over a habanero.
Well, that actually is a habanero scorpion half-breed type thing the guys worked on for years and years.
Yeah, and it's vicious. Ferg put a tiny little dot of it that he lifted out of the bottle with a toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
Onto a saltine.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked through the door, and I thought he was hurt. I thought he was crying. But instead, no, he was just sweating. And then all of a sudden, he got this big, goofy grin across his face. And then I knew that the endorphins had kicked in.
Yeah. Well, I told you it was hot.
Well, it is. And I put a couple of, you know, there's just not much to be said for chili in a can, but I was having a hankering for chili. And I put a little droplet in that. And all of a sudden, that otherwise ordinary shitty canned chili got real good real fast.
Yeah. No, it warmed it up real nice, didn't it?
I didn't even need the microwave after that. What's the name of it again? I've got the bottle.
The Reaper Squeezins.
Reaper Squeezins, yeah. From Pepper Butt.
Pucker Butt Pepper Company.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it right.
Well, oh, the guy's been working. Like I said, the guy's been working on it for years and years. Smoking Ed, down in Fort Mill. It's actually South Carolina. It's just like you throw a rock from Charlotte and you hit Fort Mill.
Yeah, it's so. just across the border there. I love chili peppers. Way back when I was having a garden every year when the kids were little.
I got some seeds for those. Do you want some?
I can't garden anymore. I mean, when the deer get so goddamn hardcore, Jay Cruisin', that
they're not going to eat that.
Oh yes, they will.
Well, they'll die.
No, they won't. They just turn into jerky on the hoof. They love my habaneros. They love my tapines, my serranos and jalapenos and cayennes.
Bro, if you want to get rid of them for good, plant some Carolina Reapers and just let them eat them. Them fucking deer will never come back.
I don't think they've got the nerve endings for it. I mean, really? You know, after all, these are animals that eat thorns. Kind of the way the goat, you know, goat will eat anything. But anyway, I would collect. I had a crockery churn that came down through the family to me, and my mother had always made kraut in it and stuff. But I decided one year I was going to get hardcore and I was going to make my own hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And so, go out, pick a bunch of peppers, rinse them, pat them dry, and everything. Chop them up, put them in the churn, throw the salt on them. Put a plate and a rock on it. And over the course of time, I just filled that churn up with my hot pepper crop.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I took it all out, ran it through a food processor, then ran it through a Foley food mill, and then put it on the stove, heated it, added a little bit of white vinegar to it, a little more salt, and canned it. And that stuff would peel paint off of an Abrams M1 tank.
Nice.
Oh, it was at the time I had this notion that I was gonna become, you know, the hot sauce king of West Virginia, and I was gonna call it Hellbilly Hot Sauce. Man's got to have dreams. But it was righteous.
Was it as hot as what I sent you?
No. Well, it was it's different hot. It was just different hot. It's chili pepper hot, not habanero hot. And that's a flavor thing.
I love habaneros, but they don't come close to that fucking Carolina Reaper.
the only thing I've gotten close to with that were the so-called Indian ghost peppers, the bot jalokias.
Oh, I've never tried them.
They're vicious. They'll set you right.
Well, anyway, you know, the church quote thing was just a symbolic.
Oh yeah, it's just, you know, I just feel like anytime I read a passage from Revelation, I feel like I'm getting an acid flashback or something.
Oh man!
I mean, if you just try to put that poor bastard must have just been in misery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't be awake, you can't be asleep, you're having these damn visions. Mental illness is real, and it was real in the ancient world. They just, oh well, he's kind of must have a couple of demons or two running around.
Yeah, but you can find symbolism in there. Not that I believe a fucking word of it. I mean, I'm just like you, but you know, I just go to look for something symbolic of where we live today, and boom, there it is, right there, Revelations. Oh, okay, yeah,
And I get it, and I understand. I mean, you've got a front row seat because, you know, you've been telling us about sea level rise in South Florida, which, of course, as a matter of law, you're not even allowed to mention being a citizen of Florida.
Well, you can mention as a citizen, just not as a member of the government, and North Carolina is the same way.
Yeah, because it's not really happening.
No, fuck no, it ain't happening.
You know, our buddy Scott, our buddy Scott in Sweden, is on the road right now. He and his beloved Brigitta left Sweden, and they are taking what they're calling a slowpoke road trip, all the way to Spain in their Nissan Leaf. And so it's a logistical adventure going from charging station to charging station. And he posted a picture the other day of a seawall in, I believe, the Netherlands. And all, you know, and he wrote in his blog post, he said, you know, you got to realize that all the land that you're looking at has been reclaimed from the sea. And then he posted this picture of the seawall, and he said, and that's what's there to keep the sea out. And it's if you're living in a country like that, then something like keeping the sea out and the idea of sea level rise, it's not theoretical anymore. And for all the, and for all they know, they may have to raise that wall up even higher.
Yeah.
And I say that because getting toward an idea, Jay Cruzen, that. They take it seriously, and we don't. New Orleans, South Florida, well, any coastal city in the United States could probably benefit from something like that.
Yeah, and it just totally blows my fucking mind. I go down there in Fort Lauderdale, you know, some of the most, outside of Coral Gables and all that stuff down there in Miami on the intercoastal and beach. You know, Fort Lauderdale, I mean, you got 5-10 million dollar homes sitting there. I mean, just waiting. I mean, it's not going to be long.
Well, I mean, I have my own.
30 years, the some bitches is going to be inhabitable. I mean,
I just want it to happen while I want some sort of massive sea level rise event to happen while Flush Flimball is trundling his massive bulk along the beach there in his mansion where he keeps his wife in a pit.
Where is he at?
God, I can't remember offhand, but I remember looking at the mansion on Google Earth. But there's got to be some good come out of it. But the longer range thing is that
I'll try to get you some pictures this year too when the king tides start rolling in, which it's that time.
It's about time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if the more, I mean, I could very easily get to where you are. But I won't let myself, because there's too many people doing too much good work. I mean, the hero protectors out in North Dakota, I'm not going to tell them it's all for naught, because they stopped that shit cold.
I agree. Well, but listen, Bob, if you don't have somebody out on the fringes like me just screaming, you know, fuck it, we've done it to ourselves, we deserve it, then what's going to make somebody like that work anymore? I mean, you know? You gotta have the extreme, and that's where I am. I'm serious, man.
But the problem with that, Jay Cruzen, is that you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That means that we gotta have the right wing extremists, and those bastards are dangerous.
They've been here all along, though.
Yeah, but now they're empowered, and that's the thing that Hillary was talking about last week. He's normalized. Trump has normalized and mainstreamed the worst elements of the right wing in this country. I mean, the Republican Party at least just sort of...
They've been doing it they've
whispered about it. Now Trump's told them, yeah, come on out into the open. Yeah, there's a 10% discount if you wear your hood to the rally.
Hey, he peeled the curtain back. That's all he did. All he did was pull back the curtain. I mean, he's not saying anything they haven't been doing for fucking years, man.
Well, no, I don't remember anybody. I mean, I remember people getting hauled out of Bush rallies and stuff and free speech zones and stuff. But I don't remember anybody just getting routinely at every event getting the holy snot kicked out of them by the faithful.
Well,
I mean, the moneyed elite of the Republican Party at least used to try to keep these bastards in check. And now they're just out, out and wandering the streets.
Well, that's how they got to where they are. Kept them in check for so long, they just kept building and building and building and building. You know, they kept building on the same damn thing, but dog whistling it. They kept dog whistling, dog whistling, dog whistling, until there's more and more and more and more and more and more. And then when Trump peels back the curtain, here they are, here they come. What you fucking created for 30, 40 years, here they come.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
They were always there.
Right, there was just the pretense that, those aren't the good Republicans. But no, I won't take issue with your argument. This has been going on since Reagan. This is how Reagan got elected. This is why Reagan went to Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
The home of the Klan. The Neshoba County, where the Klan murdered a civil rights worker and buried him in an earthen dam.
Three of them, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the names. You know, that's kind of disgraceful. I should know their names, but I don't.
I remember Cheney. Cheney was one, I think. But, no, I'm like you. Those are names that should be committed to memory and never forget.
Absolutely, and that's stuff that we, us whiteys ought to look into a little bit more.
Pay a little closer attention to. Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's not just that though, man. It's the other aspect of it too, man. It's the imperialism. I can't take it anymore, Bob.
Well, it's not imperialism to me. It's just a fact of life of empire.
I mean, since World War II, we have totally surpassed what's his nuts, because I'm not going to say the name on the program. As far as people that we have frickin' murdered in genocide since then,
I don't know numerically if we've gotten there, but the larger issue, Jay Cruzen, is that America and empire have been inextricably intertwined since the McKinley Roosevelt era, if not before. I mean, my God, okay, let's go back to James K. Polk. None other than in his lone attempt at being a member of the Congress of the United States, none other than Abraham Lincoln stood up and called out James K. Polk for his war against the innocent people of Mexico. From the moment that Napoleon signed the title deed to the Louisiana Purchase over to Thomas Jefferson, we have had ambitions of empire.
Well, you're making my point for me, Bob.
Well, I that's what I said. I don't disagree with you on this. The question is, though, how can I put this? How do you teach an empire not to be an empire? With the exception of the UK, there are very few empires that have actually successfully stepped back from it. And believe you me, the UK ain't happy about it, largely.
You know why they stepped back from it? They were made to step back from it.
They were
that's the same thing that's going to happen here. It's the only way.
But it's not quite the same situation.
I know. It's a little bit smaller scale back then. It's a lot larger scale now.
No, colonialism was far more open. We've got a different kind of colonialism. We let countries in this hemisphere pretend that they are sovereign and self-ruling because it's a lot cheaper than having to invade. But, just read War is a Racket, and I know you have, Smedley Butler. You get a little too froggy. We will go in and straighten things up on behalf of United Fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Or we'll go in and straighten things up on behalf of Union Oil, Unical. Remember Hamid Karzai?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what was he before he became president of Afghanistan?
Oh man, I don't remember.
He was an executive in acquisitions, pipeline acquisitions for Unocal.
Mm, nice. Yeah.
Thank you, Carol Baker, James Cheney, Mickey Schwerner, and Andrew Goodman.
Uh-huh.
Carol says, I remember, and I'm glad you do, Carol.
Let me ask you another question, though. You ever take a look at our vice presidential nominee, Mr. Kane?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, and supposedly he did a missionary or whatever the Catholics do down in Honduras.
Yeah.
Which nation was it that Miss Hillary Clinton gave the wink and the nod to? That was
Honduras, but
Honduras.
But Kane was down there a long time before. And
oh, come on, man, we've had our hands down there.
Sure, we have.
Long.
You don't have to convince me of the odious positions taken by Tim Kaine. The man's pro right to work. And he sat while he was governor of Virginia. He sat idly by while thousands of his own Commonwealth citizens were fucking poisoned. I understand this. I absolutely understand this. But at this point in time,
so that's what I'm saying, though, Bob. I mean, yeah, you understand. You know it all. I mean, you understand. I'm not saying you're a know-it-all. I'm saying,
no.
You know.
I'm not Hartman.
I know, but somehow I don't see how. I just don't see how you can. I don't see it. I can't. I just can't.
Well, I can because the chance that my kids have is or my grandkids is slim enough.
Well, my grandkids, with Trump,
it approaches mathematical zero.
All right. Well, with either one of them, my grandkids have none. They're not born yet.
Well, I disagree with you. I think there's a chance. Among other things, all those connections that Hillary has to corporate America. If she presses the issue, look, deal with it. Capitalism. If we're going to survive climate change, capitalism has to get on board. There's no way around it.
That is completely antithetical to what capitalism is.
I realize that, but when you consider that the huge insurance giants are deadly in earnest about climate change because their asses, their money is at risk.
Well, that's been going on for 5 or 10 years, and they've been silenced.
And the Pentagon hasn't been silenced. Climate change to the Pentagon is a major national security threat.
Well, who the fuck listens to them when they say
Well,
that?
Well, not to Congress, and that brings the next point back. And I think Malloy made a similar point. Sooner or later we got to get a Congress. And the scary part for me, Jay Cruzan, is that we don't get a Congress. As I've said, and I would love to be wrong, our best chance for a sane Congress 2022, sworn in January 2023. But hey, I love the conversation, ma'am. But I got to get out of here because I got to go get Margie, and then I got to go do Malloy.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it's freaking already 8:00. All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, see you, man. Bye. Good conversation. Of course, that's what conversation radio is about. I do have to get out of here, and I guess we're going to have a fundraising goal tomorrow of $485. Ouch. Maybe it'll get better before then. I hope it does. At any rate, thanks, everybody, for joining in for this truncated version of the horn. I will be back in about an hour, and I'll meet you over in Malloy land. Okie doke? All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Bye for now.